Welcome once again to our fifth program, Intelligent Design and Biological Evolution Debate, that for particularly the last 10 years has been going on very strongly in our country, particularly in regard to the public schools. If intelligent design could or should be taught in some way as a explanation other than biological evolution. My guest, as usual, is Ron Eldred, who is professor at John Paul II Catholic High, who teaches history, religion, and government. I'm your host, Monsignor Larry Moran, pastor emeritus here at St. Patrick's at 19th and Poplar. Ron, we are at that part in our discussion about modern science and intelligent design called the anthropic arguments. Now, isn't it true that modern scientific evidence has given us reasons to believe beyond a reasonable doubt that God exists and that he designed, created, and maintains the universe? We're talking from a scientific evidence.
Although we have seen this is a hotly debated topic today, it's sort of quieted down here in the last year or so, but beyond that, for several years, it was a very hotly contested issue. This, especially in the public schools, the accumulated evidence is overwhelming proof that the universe was designed, created, and sustained by an intelligent designer and creator, as outlined in the Book of Genesis. During our series on Reasons to Believe, Catholic Apologetics, we examined several areas scientific inquiry pursued by proponents of intelligent design, such as evidence from cosmology, from physics, astronomy, geology, biochemistry, the science of biological information, and an area of psychology called consciousness. For our listeners who didn't hear this part of the series, we'll now look at just one of the areas of inquiry to give them the flavor of these kinds of arguments, the area of physics. And we are giving these examples simply to show the kind of arguments and data the proponents of intelligent design use to make their case for God.
Okay, so we're trying to give both sides of the argument, and these are some of the clear arguments that intelligent designers are those who favor the idea of intelligent design as opposed to evolution without any designer, have proposed. And let's start with the evidence from physics.
Well, let me preface this that we are, of course, not qualified to judge the truth of these findings, whether it be in physics or, you know, or in any other area. In fact, I've tried to delve into some of this a little bit, and after you get past about the first paragraph, it's nothing but mathematics usually, and, you know, higher mathematics for the most part. Physics is a science that deals with matter and energy and their interactions. And modern physicists have discovered that the laws and constants of physics provide the optimal conditions to make the universe habitable for life. Robin Collins is in an interview with Lee Strobel, a prize-winning journalist with the Chicago Tribune, has concluded from his research that gravity is fine-tuned to the staggering figure of one part in 100,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, Now, Collins is a physicist and he's a mathematician with a PhD from Notre Dame in philosophy. And he says that the cosmological constant, which represents the energy density of space, is, quote, as precise as throwing a dart from space and hitting a bullseye just a trillionth of an inch in diameter on Earth, end of quote. I read that there are over 30 physical properties that require precise sets of measurement required to produce a universe that can sustain life, which reasonably can be accounted for only by an intelligent designer. At least the ID people, of course, claim that. And I personally think that's true. The accumulated evidence for intelligent design is so powerful that even some scientists have given up atheism. For those who want to get a full range of information about how evidence from physics makes it reasonable to believe in God's existence, I strongly urge them to read Lee Strobel's book, The Case for a Creator. A journalist investigates scientific evidence that points to God.
I'd like to see that book. Where could a person get it?
Oh, it's easy to get.
Ordinary bookstore, Catholic bookstore?
It might be at the local Catholic bookstore.
Certainly
you could look at Amazon.com and get it very easily.
Okay.
It's an excellent book. He interviews a lot of the top ID scientists.
Who are scientists themselves.
Yeah, he interviews probably a dozen of the top ID scientists, and some of them in biology, some of them in biological information, some of them in physics, some of them in astronomy and different areas. These are people who are astronomers, and these are people, but they're also ID scientists at the same time.
They from their scientific depth of knowledge, they're concluding intelligent design has to be part of the conclusion for all these complexities.
It boils down essentially that everything is so complex you simply can't explain it by
random selection
and random variation and natural selection and other such processes.
Okay.
So and we that's just one area that we looked at in
okay. Before we go to the next topic, is there anything else you'd like to say about science and intelligent design? Because this seems to be up in the air about if intelligent design can claim to be scientific, even though these great scientists are backing it.
I would like to add that the information I have just given regarding science and intelligent design is the type of evidence proponents of intelligent design mean when they claim that the various sciences support that a great intelligence had to design and create the universe. And as I've also said, not being a scientist myself, I can't verify the validity of their conclusions, but they appear to be very logical to me. But I'm not qualified to say whether or not they are scientific by the methodology of the great bulk of the scientific community. You know, we spent our last half hour session looking at the features and the method and steps that scientists consider to be necessary to be doing science.
All right, then let's ask the question directly. After discussing the scientific method that scientists say has to be applied, peer review, and it has to be demonstrable, and by repeated tests and the like, and the efforts of the proponents of intelligent design, does intelligent design meet the standards of what is called scientific respectability?
Well, of course, critics of intelligent design claim that proponents don't utilize the methods of science that we have discussed. Although I tend to agree with the findings of intelligent design scientists, their methods as such don't seem to me to fit very well the assumptions and methods of science employed by the overwhelming majority of scientists that we discussed. The method of intelligent design, it appears to be more statistical and philosophical than scientific. And as we shall discuss in later sessions, I don't think that what they are doing is inappropriate, because statistics, philosophy, and even theology are also valid methods of searching for truth as well as science. Science is not the only method in the search for truth. And to say it is, that's what we call scientism.
Okay.
The question is, are the findings of intelligent design appropriate for public school science courses? And the U.S. Supreme Court doesn't think so.
Okay. Say a word about what the United States Supreme Court, because it went all the way to the highest court in the land, what did they say about this debate, intelligent design and biological evolution?
Well, the court has developed a certain standard or standards to use to determine whether or not intelligent design is scientific or not. This is called the Daubert standard, That's D-A-U-B-E-R-T, the Daubert Standard. The Daubert Standard governs which evidence can be considered scientific in U.S. federal courts and most state courts. This is not just simply for evolution cases either. This is for any case that becomes before the Supreme Court where there's a scientific matter to be adjudicated. The standard was established by the U.S. Supreme Court in a case called Daubert versus Merrill Drew Pharmaceutical, and this was in 1993. And the four relevant Daubert criteria are, number one, the theoretical underpinnings of the methods must yield testable predictions by means of which the theory could be falsified. By falsifiable, the court does not mean that the hypothesis or theory under consideration is false. It means that for a proposition to be falsifiable, it must be possible in principle to make an observation that would show that the proposition was false, even if that observation is not actually made. Philosophers of science declare that no empirical hypothesis, proposition, or theory can be considered scientific if it does not admit the possibility of a contrary case. I can't really tell you, you know, exactly why that's the case. I haven't taken the time to delve into the legitimacy of that. The second one, though, the method should preferably be publicized in a peer-reviewed journal. Okay. The third one is there should be a known rate of error that can be used in evaluating the results. And number four, the method should be generally accepted within the relevant scientific community. So these are the four criteria that the Supreme Court established to use in judging any case that comes before the court, or any court, probably federal court at least, dealing with scientific matters.
Okay. So then, how does intelligent design, even though it's presented by quite competent scientists, compare with these standards set by the court? Obviously, they don't.
Well, critics claim that intelligent design doesn't compare favorably with any of them. And the courts have generally agreed. For example, in December 2005, the U.S. Federal Court Judge John E. Jones III ruled in Kitzmiller versus Dover Area School District that intelligent design is not science and is essentially religious in nature, end of quote. And he said that it had no place in the science classroom. He gave three reasons for this conclusion. First, he wrote that intelligent design violated, quote, the self-imposed convention of the scientific method by relying upon a supernatural explanation for a natural phenomenon, rather than the approach favored in science testability. Second, he said that intelligent design is based on the same, quote, contrived dualism as creation science. Remember, that had been declared unconstitutional in an earlier case.
Saying that we could follow the literal interpretation of the Bible.
Yes. Namely, a suggestion that every piece of evidence tending to discredit evolution confirms intelligent design. He found intelligent design's irreducible complexity argument to be a negative argument against evolution and not proof of design. And last, he stated that expert testimony presented by defendants of intelligent design relating to irreducible complexity had been refuted in peer-reviewed research papers. Now, the Kitzmiller case had arisen when 11 parents of students in the school district in Dover, Pennsylvania, which is near Harrisburg, right in the kind of smack dab in the middle of Pennsylvania, sued the school district over a statement that the school board required to be read aloud in ninth grade science classes when evolution was taught, endorsing intelligent design as an alternative to evolution. This is a statement that had to be read.
Okay.
The plaintiff successfully argued that intelligent design is a form of creationism and that the school board policy thus violated the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment.
Well, that was one of the things that intelligent design hoped to get into the public schools, at least to say here's an alternative opinion that we feel is solid enough to make help the students make their own choice about it.
Yeah, they're claiming that there's science behind intelligent design.
Okay. And they are scientists who are saying this.
There's scientists who are saying this.
Okay.
But the great, we have to, but the great, great majority of scientists, probably 99% of them don't agree with that.
Okay. So this is really a new pioneering effort to try and get some kind of, in the public schools, recognition beyond evolution, which often teaches there is no God or there is no designer, to have some kind of balancing effect in public school.
In a later session, we'll spend a session on that topic, this whole kind of the history of that movement to get that brought about in the public schools in this country.
Fine. Okay, some scientists claim that intelligent design argues from ignorance, not facts. What can you tell us about this claim, since these are really some top-notch scientists in the country?
The argument from ignorance is known as the, quote, God of the gaps, end of quote, argument. The argument from ignorance states that, quote, a lack of evidence for one view is erroneously argued to constitute proof of the correctness of another view, end of quote. Critics say that intelligent design is an argument from ignorance because it relies upon a lack of knowledge or gaps in evidence about the theory of evolution for its conclusion, and lacking a natural explanation for certain specific aspects of evolution, intelligent design's proponents assume an intelligent cause. In other words, there may well be a lot of other explanations, but they assume that there's an intelligent cause for this. Scientists who hold to evolution as an explanation for the origin and development of living things, and that's most of them now, contend that although we don't know something yet, given time, the unexplained will be explained, that science will fill in the gaps by eventually finding the correct answers. Scientific critics assert that the main feature of intelligent design arguments is that it merely answers outstanding questions, often with supernatural explanations that can't be scientifically verified. And they allege that the contribution of intelligent design proponents to finding scientific answers to fill in the gaps of knowledge has been negligible and unpredicted. My opinion is intelligent design arguments should be taught in philosophy or theology courses. And I think you'll find out later on when we look at the Catholic Church. That's basically the position I think that the Church takes.
And that we take
today.
A John Paul II Catholic
heart. Yes. Mm-hmm. Because I believe that they deal largely with philosophical or theological issues. The problem is, though, most if not all public schools don't have these subjects. So if the findings of intelligent design aren't discussed in the relevant science classrooms, then when will students ever hear about them? Chances are they never will.
Okay, and that's why the intelligent designers are fighting to get something said in science classrooms, because there's no other place to put it in a public school.
At some point, we'll come back and kind of put this together, this whole issue, because we still don't have quite enough information to be able to draw conclusions as to what the Church does teach and what should it do and on this whole matter.
Wonderful.
What should be, how should we think about this subject?
Okay.
As Catholics?
Okay, because that's what we're ultimately trying to come to a conclusion about. Well, in the final analysis of what practical use is the intelligent design theory to prove God's existence?
If you already have adequate reasons to believe that God exists, intelligent design makes it more reasonable to believe that God deliberately structured the universe to have the fine-tuned properties that we discussed than it does to believe that the universe occurred by chance. Makes more sense to believe in it than not to believe in other words.
Okay. Well, of course, we accept that as Catholics anyway.
Yes.
But we're saying, so intelligent design fits into that from what we already believe. But yes, scientists aren't willing to accept the intelligent design arguments as scientific.
I think intelligent design is another motive of credibility or reason to believe. Remember in our series on reasons to believe, Catholic apologetics, that's why we spent so much time on these anthropic arguments in physics and cosmology and anthropology and all those different fields, what these intelligent designers had said about
psychology.
Yes, psychology.
I like that one from psychology.
However, I think that one must be careful when he or she proposes that intelligent design is a science that employs the scientific method, in the sense that we looked at the features and the steps of the scientific method. As we discussed earlier, this is where the idea receives most of its criticism by the proponents of the evolutionary hypothesis. Perhaps we should think of intelligent design as more of a philosophical approach to the problem of the origin of the universe and all that it's in it, including living things. You know, and after all, philosophy is a valid method of searching for the truth. In fact, if you know your history, what we call science today was at one time a part of philosophy. You know, you go back to the 17th century, if you took a course in astronomy, it actually was in a philosophy course.
Really?
You know, philosophy in a sense is a search for, you know, understanding, and literally a search for wisdom, a love of wisdom.
And the causes of things, the ultimate causes of things, and the destiny of things.
So, again, philosophy is a valid method of searching for truth, and the scientific method doesn't have a monopoly on truth. Perhaps in the public schools, intelligent design should not be taught in the biology classroom, but in a philosophy course, especially designed for the purpose. But we don't have any problem with that, you know, here at John Paul II Catholic High, where I teach, because we're free to teach the full truth of any subject matter. And I might add, though, that proponents of evolutionary hypothesis are not as scientific as they would have us to believe. As I pointed out earlier in this discussion, much of their theorizing is more philosophical or ideological than scientific.
So you have seemed to indicate several times, Ron, that you think some of the evolutionary or the evolution arguments are really not scientific according to their own standards.
That's, I think, true.
Okay, well, what do you think is the reasons for hostility, and such hostility, to intelligent design?
You're speaking of in the scientific community,
more right?
Than anything. Yes, and to introducing the idea into the public schools. Well, to be fair, I think that the vast majority of scientists are opposed to the teaching of intelligent design in the public schools because they believe that it is unscientific.
Okay.
As I just suggested, I question its purely scientific validity myself, although I'd be the first to admit I'm not enough of a trained scientist to know how to make any real, valuable judgment there. Nonetheless, I am strongly supportive of the intention of the movement, of the intelligent design movement, if not their methodology. The public school system has been undergoing secularization for at least the past 50 years. What this means in the realm of biology is that God and religion have been taken out of the schools under the pretext of the separation of church and state and replaced by atheistic materialism in the form of Darwinian science. By atheism, I mean that Darwinism, as taught in the public schools, is godless at its philosophical foundation. And I believe that the proponents of intelligent design are right when they claim that Darwin is not as value-free and an objective pure science as its proponents would like for us to believe. I also believe that intelligent design proponents are right when they claim that underlying Darwinism is a philosophy and an ideology used by secularists to instigate a cultural and political revolution, a revolution that has atheism as its philosophical foundation. Some argue that this is a part of a broader scheme to make secular humanism the official religion in the public school system. I think it already is, but many opponents of introducing intelligent design theory in the high school biology classes have a vested interest in this whole process, this whole revolution.
Now, if you can, say just a word about secular humanism, because we hear that an awful lot. What would that mean, an attempt to explain everything without God?
Well, that has to do with morality. It has to do with secular humanism. For the most part, it has to do with morality. That's too big
right.
a topic to...
All right.
50 things shot through my mind when you said that, and I couldn't grab a hold of any of them.
All right. Well, we'll overlook that right now. What do we mean The opponents of introducing intelligent design theory in high school biology class have a vested interest in what would be a revolution if they would do that.
Well, I believe that what I just said is the main reason why the proponents of Darwinism are not open to what we Catholics and other Christians believe is a reasonable compromise between the Bible and the theory of evolution. It is why I think they portray scientists who are proponents of intelligent design as if though they were indistinguishable from simple-minded and cartoon-like characters used to portray fundamentalist Christians in plays, about the scopes of the monkey trial, such as Inherit the Wind. I studied Charles Darwin in detail as a graduate student of history at the University of Illinois, and I recall that although he claimed to be an agnostic, his so-called theory of evolution is atheistic. His mechanism of evolution, mutation, and natural selection is godless. Moreover, one of his leading defenders was Thomas Henry Huxley, who coined the term agnostic or to characterize those who claim not to know whether there is a God or not. And his grandson, Sir Julian Huxley, was an atheist, an avowed atheist. He was a noted biologist and was past president of the godless American Humanist Association and signer of the Humanist Manifesto, too. The first principle of Darwinism is that there is no God. It is essential to the Darwinian theory that every living thing is the product of a purely material universe that functions without design or purpose and is driven by mindless accidents, such as is found in Darwin's theory of natural selection. Darwinism provides the illusion, I think, though, of intellectual credibility. Whatever proof that might exist in the Darwinian explanation for the origin and development and evolution of living things, and I believe there is some proofs far beyond, again, my capability of knowing or understanding it. I believe it was Peter Kreeft, a noted Catholic philosopher and professor at Boston College, who said, quote, "The champions of Darwinism in our schools hold to the philosophical belief that we live in a godless, morally neutral world and that we are unable to define any act as intrinsically good or evil. The problem is they dishonestly promote this philosophical view as objective science." He says that if they are going to posit a so-called scientific theory that development or evolution of living things is caused by blind forces of some type, proponents must have the proposition, or I'm sorry, the presupposition that there is no God who designed, created, and sustains the universe and all that is in it. He goes on to claim that this is a philosophy, not science.
All right, and would you say that, would you agree with Peter Kreeft that that's what is being taught in public schools, a atheistic evolution?
I think the way it's being taught, that's true.
Okay. Well, our time is running out again on us, Ron. I suppose we got 30 seconds. Do you want to use 30 seconds? Or we better just, I think, ease out. And this is, again, our program discussing the debate of evolution and intelligent design. May God bless you always and in all ways.